Driver, we're clear.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of The Florida Project, the podcast where Disney fans celebrate Walt Disney World. If you like Disney and you like podcasts, you will probably like The Florida Project. I'm Jason. With us, as always, is Will.
Hello.
And we're joined by Michael, as usual, too, also.
Hello.
If you would like to support the show, get access to some awesome bonus content, get some cool real-world stuff, and even chat with us when you're bored at work, become one of our Patreon saints at patreon.com/TFP podcast. Each week on TFP Extra, we keep the podcast train rolling with more zany fun, the airing of grievances, and a topic that may or may not be Disney-related. If you're a fan of the nonsense parts of the Florida Project, you will love TFP Extra. In addition to TFP Extra, our Patreon saints get access to our ongoing Disney Classics series, where we discuss each of Disney's animated classic films. Patreons who contribute just $5 get the additional shows and an invite to the TFP Slack channel. There you can chat with us, participate in watch-alongs, and engage in fun freewheeling discussions. It's like a nonstop episode of TFP Extra.
Extra.
Additional levels and rewards are all on the Patreon site, so sign up at patreon.com/TFP podcast today and get more of The Florida Project. In today's episode, we'll discuss some nonsense and small topics. Michael will give us the latest news. Will will take us on a trip down Main Tweet USA. And then we will ask 10 questions about the recent television program, WandaVision. All that and more is coming up on this week's episode of The Florida Project.
It's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small, small,
small topics. All right, question number one. If you were to choose a house or dwelling from any TV show, which one would you pick? And you can be very liberal with your definition of house or dwelling.
I would go with either the Dumphy house from Modern Family.
Oh, that's a good one.
Or the Pritchett house from Modern Family.
I like the Dumphy house more. The Pritchett one's a little modern for
me. Yeah, it's a little too modern, but it has like a nice pool.
It does have a nice pool.
And a gate.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to fix that step in the Dumphy house, though.
That's true.
That would be like number one.
Yes. Well, we'd have that fixed before we moved in.
Well, yeah, the home inspector should catch that, really. But I'd, of those two, I would pick the Pritchett house because of the pool. I mean, mainly.
Okay. Will?
I thought Michael would say this, but I'd go with the Next Generation Enterprise D.
That was going to be, I was going to go with the Star Trek.
That's too outdated for me.
No. You have everything that you could ever want, and you get to go to fun new places all the time. And it only, you know, it was pretty safe for the most part. I mean, it was only in danger once out of every 10 weeks or so.
You better hope you have a named part in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just random, you know, civilian living on the Enterprise.
Then you're Borg fodder for sure.
Who would, like, would you guys do that? Would you go, like, if they were like, all right, you can come live on the Enterprise for 5 years. Would you do that just as a random civilian?
I don't know. It might be kind of interesting. I mean, what else are you doing? What if, like, you know, in the, you know, the...
Like, you're the barber on the Enterprise.
Yeah, but, like, in the future, what if you don't know what you want your path to be? Like, you know, if you don't want to be a chef and you don't want to be an artist, you know, because you don't need money.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go... I'll go travel for 5 years and see strange new worlds. Seek out new life and new civilizations. Go boldly.
Yeah, if it was the future, I would. If it was like today, I'd be like, what? There's an Enterprise? Like we have starships?
No, I'm going to let somebody else do it the first time.
Yeah.
I'll go next.
But
oh, yeah, absolutely.
What would mine be? Will took mine.
I really thought Michael was going to do it.
Yeah, mine would have been Voyager, but...
Enterprise is more comfy than Voyager.
Lots of carpeted walls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe if it gets a refit...
I bet there's like some obvious ones we're not thinking of.
Yeah.
Like the Fortress of Solitude?
Too cold.
Very cold.
I mean, I like the cold, but...
The Love Boat? Deep Space Nine?
No. That's too military.
Troy and Abed's apartment?
The spare room? The holodeck room?
I bet that apartment smells.
Chandler and Joey's apartment?
I guess Monica's apartment would be nice.
I don't have a desire to live in New York City.
Yeah, me neither.
Well, then you should come up with something else.
Yeah,
Frasier's apartment. Now that's an apartment.
I guess I'll just go with Voyager. Or maybe some rich person's house in a documentary. Maybe like Beyonce's house. I bet she has a nice house.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, any of those houses that people were showing off the 90s on Cribs.
Yeah.
That were like the really nice ones.
I bet there's a lot of bees at Beyonce's house.
Mm. I bet. All right. What restaurant food would you like to be able to make at home at the same quality as your favorite restaurant? Mine would be nachos. I can make all the components of the nachos, but they're just not the same as when you have them at the Mexican place.
Yeah. Mexican is only good in the restaurant. That's something we've learned over this past year of 2020, 2021. I agree fully. I'm going to go with a Bloomin' Onion, though, because any Bloomin' Onion I've ever had has never been as good as the one they have at Outback right there.
Yeah. Michael?
I was probably going to go with Benihana.
Oh, that's good. The fried rice.
Yeah, especially the fried rice, but I don't know, the whole thing.
You can only pick one.
Oh, one item?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, then the chicken fried rice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although you don't know because you haven't gotten that hibachi at home yet to try it out.
Yeah, no, I don't want a hibachi at home, but I just want to have the hibachi fried rice as if it was made at home or made at the restaurant at home, so I don't have to smell it.
I found a thing that goes over your whole stove that you can make your own hibachi at home, which seemed awesome. It was like a big piece of steel.
Yeah, and when will it be arriving?
Soon.
Good.
Actually, the storage is the problem. If there was a place to store it, then maybe. But
you should get one of those sheds.
Yeah.
Just for the hibachi.
Just for the hibachi. You can make a hibachi outdoor shed.
Yeah, I mean, when we make our casita outside, we'll put a hibachi in it.
Oh, yeah, have the hibachi outside. I would be all for the hibachi if it wasn't in the kitchen.
Yeah, it'll be outside.
Well, I think we have it all ready to go now. The plan is in effect.
All right, I'll call an architect tomorrow.
Sweet.
All right.
Which hard ticket event are you most excited to see return to Walt Disney World after the pandemic?
For me, I go with the after hours at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
See if I could ride Rise of the Resistance without the whole thing.
Yeah. That would be the one time they'll let people wait in line for Rise of Resistance.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, especially post-pandemic. I mean, you could fill up that outdoor queue and, like, queue it through the rest of Galaxy's Edge if that's what you want to do. Now, what'll be great is if you want to ride everything else at Hollywood Studios during the after-hours event.
Yeah, because everyone will be at Rise of the Resistance.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Slinky Dog, like 15 times in a row. One more time, buddy. We're going again.
Yeah.
I'll stay on.
That's how it's meant to be experienced multiple times. I would also go with the After Hours event, not specifically Hollywood Studios.
Which part?
Probably Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Just because that's my favorite. But I was trying to think of the other ones, but the After Hours one was the one that had the biggest impact on me, I think.
Yeah. I think I would go with the Christmas party. Or maybe the Halloween party. But one of the holiday parties, I think. Because it's... You get the benefits of the after hours with the low crowds, but you also get, you know, special entertainment, that parade, all that kind of stuff.
And cookies.
Yeah.
Or candy.
Yeah. I would go Halloween. I think I like Halloween party better than, because then you have all the kids dressed up in the adorable costumes for a couple hours. Yeah,
and the adults too is pretty entertaining.
Yeah. And then they leave and you get all the rides. Yep. After hours. I mean,
yeah, my second choice
Halloween party.
My second choice is going to be the Christmas party, just because that's the one I haven't been to. So
cool. Well, that is it for small topics.
Thanks, Jason. Those are some great small topics. News. So here are some exciting Disney news items to discuss this week. We have one really big news item and two much smaller news items, really just a taste of news this week.
And then one tasteful news item.
Yes.
Nice. Lovely.
Number one, and this is the big one, Disneyland announces their reopening date.
Woo!
So we previously talked about how theme parks and large venues in California would be allowed to reopen starting April 1st, and Disney had announced that Disneyland would not reopen on April 1st, but would probably open later in the month. And now, after being closed for more than a year, Disneyland and Disney California Adventure will reopen to the public on April 30th, 2021, with limited capacity.
Yay! That's exciting.
That is. And Disney Parks blog says, quote, because theme park capacity will be significantly limited to comply with governmental requirements and promote physical distancing, the Disneyland Resort will manage attendance through a new theme park reservation system that requires all guests to obtain a reservation for park entry in advance. To enter a park, both a park reservation and valid admission for the same park on the same date are required for guests ages 3 and up. And these theme park reservations will be limited and subject to availability, and until further notice, only California residents may visit the parks in line with current state guidelines. More details about this new reservation system will be available soon. It's probably going to be exactly the same as the Walt Disney World one, I would imagine.
Yep.
In the days leading up to the public opening on April 30th, Disneyland Resort will invite cast members and members of the local community to be the first theme park guests after more than a year of closure.
Yeah.
A Touch of Disney, the limited time ticketed experience which has sold out, will go on as planned from March 18th through April 19th. End quote. The Disneyland Resort hotels will also be reopening, but in phases. Disney's Grand Californian Hotel and Spa plans to reopen on April 29th with limited capacity. Disney Vacation Club Villas at Disney's Grand Californian Hotel and Spa will reopen on May 2nd. Disney's Paradise Pier Hotel and the Disneyland Hotel will reopen at a later date, TBD. Also, as expected, enhanced health and safety measures, operational changes will be in place to the theme parks and hotels to align with guidance from health authorities and learnings from the other Disney theme parks around the world to promote physical distancing, enhance cleanliness, and reduce contact. So expect to see a lot of the same measures made at Walt Disney World to be made at Disneyland. So I'm very excited for the California people.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I like that they're limiting it to California residents.
Yes, I think that's a smart approach.
Yeah, I guess they just won't be open on those Touch of Disney days they've already sold.
What?
Oh, wait, that's before. I thought it was later. Apologies.
Oh, no. Yeah, the Touch of Disney will have already ended in time.
Yep, good idea then. I guess they won't have the early people there before April 19th then. Check. Got it.
Probably not.
I bet they planned that the opening date so they didn't have to refund the Touch of Disney days.
Heck yeah, sold out, man. Take the money. Take all that California money. And I also don't mind that it's California residents either. You know what? They've had a long year. We've all had a long year, but, you know, we got to go to Disney World.
Yeah, they had to wait longest, and I feel like it hurt them more. Those Disneyland people that live, like, right around Disneyland, like, it's so important to them that that had to be, like, an extra sting that Disney World was open all this time.
And California's a big state.
It is.
And you don't want to, like, we're doing a good job of getting ahead of this or making some progress, finally. Like, the last thing you want is people flocking to Disneyland.
And it's, you know, 4 feet wide.
Yeah.
You don't want 1,000 people just standing there at the gate either, you know, wanting to get in without reservations.
Well, you know what else you won't have reservations about?
What?
Getting your new free pass holder magnet for Walt Disney World.
Ooh.
So number two, Walt Disney World pass holders to receive free Orange Bird magnet. Similar to last year, Walt Disney World is celebrating its pass holders and the 2021 Taste of Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival and will soon begin mailing an Orange Bird magnet as a gift. Disney is advising pass holders to update their contact information before March 31st via My Disney Experience and accessing the profile section. Up to 2 magnets will be shipped per household.
What? So have we gotten an Orange Bird one yet?
I don't even remember. We'll have to check the side of the refrigerator.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't think we have.
That sounds real uppity.
There's been so many of them. I don't remember if they've done an Orange Bird one.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I like that they're mailing it so you don't have to, like, go to the park 4 times just to get it.
Now, the Orange Bird, is it, like, actually back at Walt Disney World anywhere besides merch? Like, did they put it back at the Citrus Swirl, whatever that place is called, Sunshine Tree Terrace.
I don't know exactly, but they do offer like Orange Bird sippers at those places. So, yes.
They never did the costumed character again or anything, right?
Not that I've seen.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
Just seemed to come out of nowhere a few years ago, which I have no problem with. It's a cute little character. Fun.
Yeah.
But I will not be getting a magnet.
It's on the sign for the Sunshine Tree Terrace.
Oh, okay.
All right, good.
In this picture.
You have so many pass holder magnets now, you could just constantly change every day which magnet you want to put on your car.
That would be uppity.
It would be uppity, but it would be a nice way to, you know, freshen things up every once in a while.
What if you're not driving that day? Would you still change it?
Absolutely. Even except, you know, if it's raining or something, you don't want to go out there if the weather's nasty. But otherwise, yeah, I think you should. That should be part of your schedule. You brush your teeth, change the magnet, get dressed. There you go.
Yeah, when I go out and get the paper, I just change the magnet.
With your robe on and your slippers. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That's hardcore. Feels
like an Orange Bird kind of day. Figment day tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
Number 3. The Spork returns to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Back when Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opened at Disneyland, the Spork was the default eating implement for travelers. It quickly became a collector's item and then was only available for purchase, and it soon disappeared due to very limited availability. Well, good news for you Spork fans, the Spork is back. It is available for purchase, limited to one Spork per person, at Docking Bay 7 Food and Cargo and Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and even comes with a travel pouch, perfect for keeping it safe as you continue your travels around Batuu and beyond.
This is smart.
Mm-hmm. And the pouch says something like, for use on Batuu only, or something like that. Kind of a little in-joke that people were stealing those things from Disneyland.
Yeah.
I have no desire to get this, though, for the record. The Spork was only ever good at Taco Bell.
Yeah, the spork is fine. I'm also fine using a fork and a spoon independently of one another.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm switching out all of our flatware to sporks.
You know, and next time I come over to your house, that better not be an empty threat.
I'm throwing away the rest.
They better be nice ones, too, like this.
We'll put them in the casita with the hibachi.
We're spork people now.
That's where you can keep all the magnets, too, out there in the casita.
I'm not going all the way out to the casita to get a magnet to change every day.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Okay, never mind. You're going to need another shed out front for that, actually.
Yeah. A magnet
shed? Just one of those metal walls.
You know, I would be okay with a magnet valet, like hiring somebody on to do that, but I'm not walking all the way out to the casita. Because you either have to go through the gate to get to the backyard, or you have to come all the way downstairs to go out of the basement. No, thank you.
Yeah, now you will keep the Florida Project magnet on the car at all times, though.
Obviously.
And that is it for news.
That was some good news, Michael.
Tweet.
All right, this week, Main Tweet USA takes us to a galaxy far, far away and Second Star to the Right. All are going to be available on Disney Plus, by the way. According to AV Club, Disney Plus is releasing a lot of great Star Wars content from the Lucasfilm Vault on the streaming service starting April 2nd, which is soon. This will include 1984's Caravan of Courage and Ewok Adventure, its sequel, Ewoks, The Battle of Endor, and the two-season animated series Star Wars Ewoks from 1985 will all be added, though they are far from the biggest surprises. Animated short The Story of the Faithful Wookiee, which originally aired as part of the now infamous Star Wars holiday special, is also coming to Disney+. That features the first appearance of Boba Fett, and it's something which has only ever been available as an extra on Star Wars DVDs and Blu-rays, or those bootleg DVDs that people have ripped off of those old VHS copies of the Star Wars holiday special.
Yeah.
Some of what was seen in that short inspired The Mandalorian, including Din Djarin's primary weapon. And while this doesn't necessarily mean we'll get to see that full holiday special, here's hoping. That is not me saying that. Yeah. That is the article. I do not hope to see it in any sort of pristine form because I never want to watch it again because it's literally the worst thing in the world. And I love Star Wars, but it is the worst thing I have ever seen.
Agreed.
Thanks. But yeah, the now what I don't hate is 1984's Caravan of Courage, which I also had recorded on VHS when it aired on, I assume, ABC back in the 80s. And I watched it a lot, and it was very good.
Yeah, I get the two of them mixed up, but I did as well. I had them on tape. So it must have been ABC because I didn't have cable.
The sequel, not as good, but did co-star Wilford Brimley of Cocoon fame and Diabetes.
I don't remember which was which. Do you remember which was which, plot-wise?
The first one had this family, the parents and the two kids, they crashed on Endor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the parents were kidnapped by this big giant. And then the kids got teamed up with the Ewoks to go find the parents. And then somehow the Ewoks speak English now because it's just easier. I assume they learned that from the Empire.
Was there a witch?
That is in the sequel.
Oh, okay.
With Wilford Brimley. And I think everybody died except the little girl. Spoiler.
Right. Okay.
I do remember her name was Sindel, which was a nice Star Wars-y name.
And I remember she had some sort of... not a headband, like a sweatband around her head.
Yeah, I think you've only seen the sequel.
I've only seen the sequel?
It's possible, because everything you've described is from the sequel.
Oh, okay, that's possible, yeah.
Also, for fans of the Clone Wars, it's been confirmed that Jendy Tartakovsky's beloved Star Wars Clone Wars animated shorts are going to hit the streamer as well. They came out before the long-running Lucasfilm series Clone Wars and feature a unique style and stories which really excited a lot of fans at the time they were released. And it was the first time anybody also saw General Grievous. So it came out right before Episode 3, and it was kind of a anime-style Star Wars cartoon. It was pretty neat. It was very, very different than the Clone Wars that came out later. But it was a direct prequel to Episode 3. Also, principal photography on the live-action adventure fantasy film Peter Pan and Wendy has commenced in Vancouver. Where Yay. Else? I guess where else would be Atlanta? It's Atlanta and Vancouver. Pick one. Directed by David Lowery, who helmed Pete's Dragon, and produced by Jim Whittaker, Peter Pan and Wendy will premiere on Disney Plus in 2022. You know what the plot of Peter Pan is, so that's what it's going to be. The film stars Jude Law as Captain Hook, Yara Shahidi as Tinkerbell, Ever Anderson as Wendy, Alexander Maloney as Peter Pan, Molly Parker as Mrs. Darling, Alan Tudyk as Mr. Darling, newcomers Joshua Pickering as John, Jacoby Jupe as Michael, and Alyssa Wapanatonk as Tiger Lily, and Jim Gaffigan as Smee. I didn't know that part.
That's
and
funny.
If I did, I forgot that part, because that's really exciting. I love Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
Quote, Peter Pan has long been one of my favorite stories, partially because I've always resisted growing up, but also because of the heart, adventure, and imagination that makes J.M. Barrie's original tale so evergreen, says David Lowery. I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to redefine his iconic characters for a new generation, and even more excited that I get to do so with such an exceptional cast and crew. So I'm looking forward to this. The cast is awesome.
Isn't traditionally in the stage versions, isn't Captain Hook played by the dad? Mr. Darling?
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess they are not going traditional.
It's like a Wizard of Oz situation.
Yes. Who was Alan Tudyk playing?
Mr. Darling.
Mr. Darling.
He could
also play Captain Hook. He would be good at that.
He is playing someone else, I read, but not Captain Hook.
Oh. Yeah, poor Jude Law would be upset with that, probably.
Probably, I bet he's playing Nana, the dog.
The dog.
Yeah. He plays a lot of characters that don't speak any language whatsoever, so that's fine. Yeah. I also love Alan Tudyk. He's great at everything he does, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like him. He's good people.
And it comes out next year, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. And that's also it for Main Tweet USA.
Thanks, Will. That was a fun trip down Main Tweet USA.
All right, today's topic is 10 questions about WandaVision. So here is your fair warning. The rest of the show is spoilers about WandaVision, speculation about the MCU as a whole, maybe some spoilers from other things that came before WandaVision. So if you do not want to be spoiled on WandaVision, and if you haven't watched WandaVision, then I would I have thus far stayed away from spoilers, but you also want to watch WandaVision, I would go ahead and watch it. Like, I would skip this episode because it is WandaVision is a great show to not be spoiled for. Like, there are a lot of good, there's a lot of good stuff in it that that you don't see coming, or you want to save yourself for.
Weird. And if you don't want to be spoiled about the Ewok adventure, you should go back in time about 5 minutes.
Yes.
And not listen to Main Tweet USA. But it's also not on the same level of quality as WandaVision.
No.
It's better.
It's not.
Here we go. Spoiler vision. Spoiler vision. Spoiler vision. Spoiler vision.
I've had the WandaVision theme stuck in my head like the last 2 days.
Yeah. Randomly. And because of that, I have also had the WandaVision song stuck in my head. Okay, here we go. Question number one. The gimmick of the show is Wanda and Vision are starring in sitcoms throughout the decade. What was your favorite and least favorite sitcom era they did? And what did you think of the gimmick overall?
My favorite was the first one, the Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah,
because I absolutely adored all the corny 1950s jokes that were going on in that episode, because it was literally just almost a shot for shot remake of a Mary Tyler Moore episode where, gosh, one, people just don't know everything and just hijinks ensue.
Dick Van Dyke, right?
Dick Van Dyke. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Mary Tyler Moore was in it. There you go.
The same. Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. It was amazing. And the jokes were pretty funny. What are you wearing? That was good stuff. And then it had that little bit of weirdness at the end when the guy was choking. But yeah, I think my least favorite was probably the Modern Family one, because there just wasn't much to it. And we were all just kind of, all right, let's get to the plot now. Let's see what's really going on here.
Oh, that's interesting. Because my favorite is probably the Modern Family one, because it was everything else had started to break down, and Wanda's like, just the her to the cameras I thought were great, and then the one where Vision was sitting outside the ice cream truck and he was like, why am I sitting here talking to you? I can fly, and it flew away. I really liked that.
Oh, let me be clear. I did not like it, but if I had to pick a least, it would be that one.
But then my least favorite one was the first one, the Mary Tyler Moore or the Dick Van Dyke one.
Shocking. It's shocking that we have completely opposite. Yeah. One right and one wrong.
Well, I have completely different ones. My least favorite is the second one. Was it the early 60s?
Mm-hmm, the Bewitched one.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I liked it, but of all of them, it was probably my least favorite.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, I don't remember anything about it except the magic show. And I remember so much more from all the other ones, so it's not as memorable to me.
Yeah. I liked that one.
You know what? You make a really good point there. I'm trying to think of something else that happened in that episode. I'm having a hard time coming up with it.
That was the one where it was like for the children, right?
Yeah.
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 Like, that was where you started to get a lot of the creepy... I think that's where we met Monica for the first time, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I like that one. And I also really, really used to like Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie when I was a kid. So that one had a special, it was special to me, or more special to me. Like, I hated the Brady Bunch when I was a kid. So
that's insane. I loved the Brady Bunch because it was so campy.
I love the Brady Bunch movie.
Yeah, I mainly hated it because my sister loved it. So I was repelled by, I don't know. all right, Michael?
My favorite one I don't know. That's hard. It might be the 70s one.
The Brady Bunch?
Yeah. Because that's the one where Monica asks about Ultron, right?
Yeah.
And then it becomes really like creepy and then she like gets ejected.
Yeah, that's when they really started breaking down the thing. It's because also that was the one where didn't Agnes go, oh, do you want me to take that again?
No, that was the 80s one. I think.
That was the 80s.
Yeah. I was going to say that my second favorite would probably been the 80s for that because it was weird and the stuff with like the dog and the kids like
Sparky
growing up and stuff was just weird. But probably the 70s.
Yeah. What did you think overall of the gimmick?
I really liked it. I thought it was unique, and I thought they did a really good job with all of them. Like, you had a really... It was really easy to tell what era it was, what they were kind of riffing on. Even if you didn't actually see, you know, weren't, like, a huge fan of those shows, you kind of could see what they were doing. I don't know. I just thought it was, like, a unique idea to... Especially to start the series.
Yeah. I really liked too, they, as I was watching it after the third episode or in the third episode, I was like, all right, like I'm ready to move on to something else. And then bam, they like,
yeah,
they move on to something else. And then, and I think at the end of that, when you go, oh, I hope they go back and do a, like a rewind and, tell us what's going on. And then end here, and they did exactly that. So I think and then after that, the trope was sort of, or the gimmick was sort of breaking down, and the characters were interacting with that. So I really, really liked the gimmick because they used it up to the line, and then they changed, and like they were like, okay, we did this thing, you get it. Now let's move more into Marvel-y stuff.
I agree, but I could have done a few more episodes just turning that into a comedy for a few episodes just for fun. Because the writers were really good at what they were doing, too. And the jokes were actually pretty funny for in-decade jokes. And I could have done a few more just because I kept enjoying the theme songs for all of these shows so much. And it was clever. And I enjoyed those creepy commercials, too. But yeah, I could have done a few more, and I love the gimmick, and it was, I mean, even down to naming the show WandaVision. Oh, I get it now. It's not just the names put together. Okay. Thanks.
It's like television.
Because I didn't get that before the show came out, like, at all. Of course, before the show came out, none of us knew what this was going to be about, like, at all. And in fact, a few episodes in, we're still not very sure what's going on. So, but it all paid off, which was cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
WandaVision.
All right, if you were to pick five sitcoms from any era or decade to pay tribute to, if you were the one making the show, which would you go with?
Now, a point of order, Jason. You sent us this question earlier today, and in the Slack channel, you said sitcoms or shows.
Yep, okay. So, sitcoms or shows, and it doesn't have to be from different eras.
Yeah, because I did a couple of shows that are not sitcoms whatsoever. In fact, my first one, Game of Thrones.
Oh wow.
I thought it would have been really cool to have one episode where everybody's dressed up like in furs and everything. And Sparky could have been a direwolf.
Oh, yeah. My first one was All in the Family. I thought they could like be very political for the time.
Yeah.
Like All in the Family was. Like it was very like
progressive.
Yeah. So like they could kind of riff on that.
Yeah. I would go with Lucy, like a good Lucy and Ethel in the candy shop or Stomping Grapes, like a good bit of that would be fun, I think, Wanda and Agnes.
Yeah.
Okay.
As you know, I wanted the shows to go on longer, so we would have teenage versions of the twins, and they would be at Beverly Hills High School at Beverly Hills 90210, and they would meet
a
other
teen
kids.
Drama.
Uh-huh. And Mr. and Mrs. Walsh are Wanda and Vision. Fantastic. It writes itself. And I would have loved, absolutely loved to see the theme, the credits. That would have been fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Golden Girls.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
They could all be really old.
Fine.
Quote, unquote, really old.
Cheesecake.
Yeah, weren't they like 50 or something probably?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see a living single or friends type of thing, like a 90s young people early in their career, 20-somethings.
Yeah,
20-somethings.
Yeah.
20-somethings kind of going through that would be cool.
Making their way out in the world, absolutely.
Yeah.
I had friends on mine, so I'm going to move on to my next one, which was Frasier. And Vision works as the psychiatrist at the radio station, giving out a lot of those good one-liners he gave in the show, actually. Really good writers, again, by the way.
Oh, see, yeah. I might make Vision be Niles.
That's a good idea, too. But, I don't know. And I don't know who. I guess Wanda could be Roz, but that doesn't seem right either. Maybe Wanda's Frasier. I don't know.
Well, it's in the style of, not trading out character.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I also had Friends and Frasier.
So. Right. There we go.
So we have Friends, Frasier.
Nobody picked Seinfeld, right?
I'm going to.
Oh, go ahead, please.
Then yeah, I'll go with Seinfeld. Just to complete the trifecta.
Yeah. A lot of '90s stuff.
Not mad about you. Get out of here, Matt.
You know, it wasn't bad. I wonder how it's holding up.
I don't know. I never watched the new version or the new ones.
Yeah.
And again, we're you know, now we're just kind of getting the same style yeah. of show anyway.
Yeah.
Another good one would be Married with Children, like an early Fox show.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, I know what my last one was that I didn't write down.
The Hootin' and Hollerin'.
Yeah.
Simpsons animate them.
Yes, I was thinking like a Simpsons one would be good, especially because you know they've been on forever.
Yeah, easy too. I mean, the characters basically draw themselves. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you can just think about these characters as Simpsons characters, and you know what they look like already. So yeah. That's great.
Looking good. We got some cooking and knew we could. By all great expectations, lead to complications. But it's groovy and fun. It's me and it's you. Together, 1 + 1 is more than 2.
WandaVision.
All right, there were lots of twists and turns in this show. Which ones gagged you the most?
What does that mean?
Surprised.
Oh. I wish I could say Evan Peters, but I was spoiled the night before on Reddit.
Oh, so, yeah.
Because the trailer for the next week had already leaked, and I accidentally saw a little bit of it. So... But that would be my answer. Otherwise, it's Agatha all along, even though that was one of the theories. But they also gave us the second best Marvel moment ever with the Agatha all along song right behind Portals from Endgame.
Yeah, I wasn't super surprised by the Agatha one. Because they were really setting her up to be the bad guy. The probably the first one was when Wanda ejected Monica from the TV thing, and then like the screen pulled out,
mm-hmm. yeah,
into widescreen, and you sort of see kind of what's going on for the first time.
And how did she not get hurt, by the way?
She's got that power.
Yeah, that's true. The Agatha, it only surprised me how good the song was and how they even went to another, like, the Munsters type thing to do another different genre just for the song itself. That surprised me, and that song stuck in my head for a long time, a really long time. So.
Who's been messing up everything?
It's been Agatha all along.
She's insidious, so perfidious that you haven't even noticed. And the pity is. It's too late to fix anything now that everything has gone wrong. Thanks to Agatha.
Killed Sparky too.
Yeah, and they have the soundtracks for each episode on Apple Music, and I'm sure other things. So it's fun to listen back to a lot of the theme songs, and
Glee would have been a good one too.
a musical one. The biggest one for me was probably episode 4, where they kind of caught you up with Monica and Sword, especially the beginning when. You see the post blip or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just caught me off guard. Like even I wasn't so surprised they were doing like a catch up episode, but it was the fact that the way it started.
Another one that was a big, big shock to me was when we saw what happened in the lab when Monica went to when Wanda went to see Vision's body, and like. That she left him there. Like that was probably the biggest shocker for me because, the premise of the show is she went in and she stole Vision's body and is like, this is his corpse and she's reanimated him.
Yeah. Then you're like, oh my gosh, who's in the house with her?
Yeah. There's two Visions. I did not see two Visions coming.
Oh, that's
double
that's
Vision.
A nice
2020.
Yeah. They could have also done an American Horror Story. We could just do this all night long.
Yes.
Any other big surprises?
The whole show was a surprise to me. Like, even seeing the trailer, I kind of had some idea that they're going to do like the sitcom thing, and then I had heard like they're going to be a different decade. For each episode or whatever, but still, just in general, the whole show as it was just a nice surprise.
Yeah.
Because it was so different, and it was so different from anything Marvel had done before, but also just as a TV show, it was pretty unique, I thought.
Yeah.
I think it was also great that we had absolutely no idea what it was going to be, and it still turned out to be really, really entertaining.
Yeah. Kat Dennings showing up.
Fantastic.
That was great.
They could also have done Mad Men, too. That would have been really good.
All right. What are your thoughts on Wanda and Vision in general and the performances by Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany?
Performances, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Especially Elizabeth Olsen. I mean, for all the emotion she had to show, she ran the gamut this season. Great, great, great work. And Paul Bettany's always great. I just didn't know if Elizabeth Olsen was a great actress or not. I thought she was always pretty good. But she did some work this season.
Yeah. She had, there was really good writing, too, I thought, this time.
Yeah. Vision's lines alone.
Yeah.
What is grief if not love persevering?
It's true.
I mean, that stuck with me, man.
I know, me too. When I heard that, I was like... He's so right.
One of the things I really liked was when they called her out about her accent.
Yeah.
Like, and I think they did that a few times. Boy, that accent really comes and goes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's funny because you don't notice it until you notice it, Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Until I they call the, it out.
The headcanon sort of rationalization is she spent all this time with Black Widow, who's teaching her to blend in more and be like more of a spy, I guess. That's the in-universe why she has lost a lot of her accent.
I'm surprised she didn't pick up a British accent for being around Vision all that time while they were on the run, too.
Yeah.
Also, it could just be like she grew up watching all these American sitcoms, and that's she was emulating like
yeah.
the American accent.
That's true.
You know, she obviously, they meant a great deal to her. But yeah, as far as the acting, yeah, top notch.
Yeah.
I was glad that they, along with that, you know, Vision and Wanda, they're good in the movies, but there's not much depth to them.
Right. It's like, meh, they're fine.
Except for like one or two scenes here and there. And so it was nice, like, just to kind of explore them for a while.
Yeah. And it's, that's one of the things that I think Marvel does really well. And it's great about Marvel is they can take a nothing character or background character and really like turn them into something. I mean, the Guardians was that, Wanda, like if you had asked me of all the Avengers who I wanted to show about, it would not have been Wanda and Vision. And now I kind of hope that Wanda is the big bad in phase 3 or 4 or whatever we're in. Like, I would love to see more of her and love to see kind of a Darth Vader arc of Wanda. Like, you know, have a, that whole thing, like the falling to the dark side and then the redemption.
Yeah, what if a white Vision has to kill Wanda?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want that.
That would be Shakespearean.
It would be.
You know, it's funny, like, it's the same thing, like, you know, Wanda and Vision never really, I mean, Vision played a big role in the last 20 minutes of Age of Ultron, but that's really about it until he died. Like, the biggest thing Wanda and Vision ever did was Infinity War, where all of a sudden they're together and then she has to kill him by the end of the movie. And before now, that was their biggest claim to fame. But now I'm really, really invested in those characters. And before, when they announced all these Marvel shows, I was intrigued by WandaVision, but I was way more excited by the others. I just really had no idea what this was going to be. And I loved what they did with the characters too. And even, obviously, you know, nothing ever ends with these movies or stories, so they're going to continue to go, no matter if they get killed or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, these are kind of the difference between these Marvel shows versus the ones that came before, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like they said, these are, like, important to the continuity of the movies, so, like, they'll affect one another. But at the same time, at least judging by WandaVision alone, I can totally see how if you haven't seen WandaVision, you can pick up where Wanda's off doing something, you know, after she left at the end of WandaVision and not have to have seen this series without, and they can like catch you up pretty quickly.
Yeah, they can cover it with some pretty easy dialogue, I'm sure. Like, Dr. Strange is like, have you seen this girl?
Right.
And when did she have kids? If they, you know, do come back.
Yeah. Right.
What life could be. But then the years come and teach you to just wait and see. Forces may try to pull us apart, but nothing can faze me if you're in my heart. Crossing our fingers, singing a song, we're making. Yeah.
All right, what did you think of the team of Scoobies here? We had Agent Wu, Dr. Darcy Lewis, and the newest superhero in the MCU, Monica Rambeau.
I love Agent Wu. It made me, I did go back and watch Ant-Man and the Wasp again, just so I could see more of him.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all great. I think Monica was my favorite just because she got more to do.
Yeah.
And she was like a brand new character, more or less. At least the adult version of her.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked all of them. It was a nice surprise having Darcy and Wu back again. Small characters from other films that, mm-hmm. you know, get to do more. I would have liked if they actually had done more, but they weren't the focus of the show, so I totally get it.
Yeah. It's crazy that we got the origin movie for, I think, from what I've seen, a reasonably big superhero in Marvel's canon as like a C story, maybe a D story in a TV show.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, overall, she barely factored into the what happened. I mean, it was really Wanda and Vision's show and Wanda and then Agatha. But, yeah, I think it was a great way to introduce her. And, you know, the greatest thing about all the, like, being a fan of the MCU, and they pay off little things like Agent Wu doing, like, sleight of hand. You're like, that's for us. We know why he does that he did that before, like magic tricks. It's fantastic. Little things like that I love.
And they don't try to rush stuff, so not to harp, but you know, Vision was introduced in Age of Ultron. He was in a few movies. You got to know him. Then he made the ultimate sacrifice. Now we have White Vision out there. And I'm, you know, I think dollars to donuts, at some point, Wanda is going to figure out how to merge the Mind Stone part of her magic with the White Vision body, and we'll have regular Vision back. So it's like a full story and a full arc to get people back without being like, okay, here's the first movie, and then somebody sacrificed themselves, but... we're going to shoot them onto the Genesis planet and they'll be back immediately.
Search for Spork.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just impressed that you use dollars for dollars to donuts. That's fantastic.
Yep.
Never heard you say that before.
I'm folksy.
Man. It was that week we had with Chris last week on the show.
Yep.
That's probably what it was.
All right.
Oh, wait, hang on. Just another round of applause for Dr. Darcy Lewis, who brightens every scene she's in.
I love her.
I mean, God, she makes Thor the Dark World a little bit better every scene she's in, too. An otherwise forgettable movie.
Kat Dennings.
She makes it Thor the Not So Dark World.
Thanks for listening. There we go.
All right. Anything else to say about Wu, Rambo, or Lewis?
Looking forward to seeing more of Rambo.
Yep. And she's got some beef with Captain Marvel.
Yeah. That's about. And we got to see another scene of the people coming back when she came back in the hospital. Like that's, we could have a whole movie of that and I would really be excited about it.
Yeah. That was like the cold open for that episode, the catch up episode. Yeah. And it was like, it took me a minute to figure out what was going on.
Yeah. And the only other time we've really seen it happen is in Spider-Man Far From Home, right?
Yeah,
the actual, I don't know, what are they calling it? Do they have a name for this? The anti-blip?
Yeah. Well, those have been the only two things that have Marvel's released since Endgame.
Because we didn't see it happen in Endgame. They just kind of all came back.
Yeah, so the question is, will we see it again in Captain America and Winter Soldier?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But I feel like Captain America and Winter Soldier is going to be after.
It's also Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But he is Captain America.
Well, I mean, I guess we got to tune in to find out because that's not the name of the show.
All right, I guess I'll watch it.
Fine.
What if Vision becomes Captain America?
At this point, they can do no wrong. Like, I don't. They made a whole show about Wanda and Vision, who I found pretty boring overall.
Wanda Vision! Don't try to fight the chaos. Don't question what you've done. It's all illusion. Sit back and enjoy the show. Let's keep it going.
All right, we have 2 to 3 villains in this series. One is Hayward, the jerk sword director who really is just doing his job. Agatha Harkness, the curious witch. And Wanda, who didn't stop when she realized what she was doing. What do you think of the bad guys? And were they legit bad or misunderstood? So I would like to start with Agnes, or Agatha. She came to Westview because she sensed all this magic and wanted to know what was going on. So really the only thing I think that she did that was like evil was killing that dog. But I think other than that, she wasn't evil. Cause she didn't cause any of this to happen. She was just trying to figure out how it was going on. And then she wanted to take the powers from Wanda, but
that would have killed Wanda.
I don't think. Well, yeah, I guess
it killed her hand like Voldemort.
Yeah.
And she was choking the boys to death right before that.
Yeah, but they're not real.
Oh, well, they were as real as anything else. I mean,
no, they weren't. They came from Wanda.
The Mind Stone.
Yeah.
They were real enough.
They were as real as Vision. They couldn't exist outside of the hex.
Okay.
What is real if it's not a hex? Persevering.
That's not as deep, Michael.
That's super deep.
That's not anything. That sentence means nothing. Hayward, the worst thing he did was shoot at the kids.
Yeah.
Which is really bad for the
right.
Record.
You don't. Yeah.
I mean, otherwise he's just your regular government bad who's a liar. That's all he is. He lied to Monica. That's his worst crime.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah, the only thing until he shot at the kids that he did bad was just lie about what was going on.
Yeah.
Or at least that we were aware of. He may have done other stuff too.
I mean, he stole Vision's body. But I mean, just because you write down a will and testament doesn't mean that they have to abide by it because he's a robot.
Yeah, and we haven't gotten to that episode where Data was on trial yet. So, right. Synthezoids, like, what are their legal rights?
Especially after they're dead.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, there was a lot going on in Infinity War. You know, somebody just went and picked him up. I mean, it's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, like, he was certainly a dick, but I don't know that he was evil. And again, those kids weren't real. What's he going to jail for? Where's the body?
Well, he also was a bad shot too, by the way. I saw that. People pointed that out on the internet. Like he shot right in the middle of the two boys where Monica was going to be, where Monica like walked in front, but whatever.
He's just a pencil pusher though.
I hope we don't see him again, actually.
And even when he tried to kill Wanda with the drone, like,
what?
From what they know, she's cursed this whole town and taken everybody captive. Like, I think a military type organization, I think that they would call that an enemy combatant.
Yeah, I think there might have been a little bit more collateral damage too. They probably should have called in some more supers to work on this instead of just trying to bomb the place. I mean, we got a lot of supers they could call. I mean, less than there used to be, but still. I mean, somebody give Doctor Strange a phone call. Yeah. You know, I'm just saying.
He may have been busy.
Well, I mean, and then it's that whole line from Spider-Man again, I guess. Doctor Strange is busy.
3 weeks after Endgame.
Yeah, that's true. People had their hands full.
They might have just left the funeral for Tony. I mean, everybody's starting to go their separate ways.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you want a big bad, it's like the one who, I'm sorry, Wanda got off light for what she did at the end of this series.
I don't think she necessarily got off light. I think it was like when she was walking through that town at the end to like go off to the mountains or whatever, she really like she had a try it face on.
I know, but somebody probably should have tried it just to say, hey, you're kind of under arrest. I know we can't do it, but I have to say this for the record. Like Monica should have said that probably. At least hey, citizen's arrest. No, I know, but I have to say this because you really did a lot of bad things here. I feel bad for you, but you can't just go around doing this kind of stuff. It's bad for business. We just got everybody back.
Yeah.
I mean, these poor people, were half of them were probably gone in the blip. They just come back, and then this crazy person comes into town. And then all of a sudden, they're in a sitcom.
All right. When we leave the main characters, the kids are vanished. Vision is no more, but possibly inside Wanda all along. White Vision has effed off. Agatha's been brain wiped and lives in Westview. Monica is in space with Nick Fury. And Wanda is doing witch stuff in the mountains. What do you want to see happen next? So I don't care if we ever go back to the kids. I want to see more of Agnes. I want her like to be an uneasy friend.
Yep.
And I want to see more of Wanda. I didn't find White Vision all that compelling, so, you know, whatever. If they want to drop that thread.
Well, there's no way that's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, people seem to think he'll be a part of Armor Wars.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he and Wanda need to stay apart for a while. Before they come back together at any point, no matter what happens to Wanda in Doctor Strange. Obviously we know something, Wanda's going to be in the next Doctor Strange movie. So kind of just putting that aside, I'm most excited about what Monica's going to go do in Captain Marvel 2 or whatever else is next, Secret Wars. I like this character. I would like to see more. She is how I feel about Captain Marvel, which I didn't love her movie, but I really like the character and I want to see her do something else.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that.
And I also don't really care about White Vision all that much either. And I completely agree. We need to see Agatha as a, you know, uneasy ally against some sort of bigger bad, whether it's Wanda or somebody else. That is going to be really interesting.
We will absolutely see Agatha again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of in that Nebula role. Like,
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. If they didn't have plans for Agatha before, when they were creating WandaVision, with how good she was, like the actress, and how well she was received, there's no way they're not going to utilize her.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they would have, like, killed her. Or something. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And if
they basically just put her aside.
Yeah. And if Wanda becomes the big bad in the MCU, which is possible, you know, they're going to need a witch to be like, oh, she's doing witch stuff up there. Let's go talk to this witch.
You can't put those runes up. You can't do that trick again.
Yeah.
Gotcha, Wanda. By the way, that was a really good fight scene too. I love that.
Fool me once.
It's not as good as Vision versus White Vision, which I think we need a new name instead of White Vision. He's just Vision now, maybe.
In the credits, aren't they Vision and The Vision?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one's Vision? Which one's The Vision then? The White Vision is The Vision?
Yeah.
Okay.
The chalky one. Yeah. I think call him Chalk Vision.
I mean, he needs some spray paint or something. I don't know. But because that white will just get dirty.
All right. Let's talk about Ralph Boner. In one of the greatest trolls in the history of trolling, WandaVision recast a dead Pietro with Evan Peters, the actor who played Quicksilver for Fox in the X-Men franchise. What did you think of this choice? I loved it because first I was like, are they actually going to bring the Marvels into the MCU? And then when they didn't do it in the next episode, I was like, and they even said they recast Pietro. And he said in it, like, why don't you look like, she was like, why don't you look like my brother? And he was like, well, you don't want to look at his face all the time, do you? And he has holes in him. So,
yeah.
So I loved it. I love that it was like this big, super secret cameo reveal that they knew would drive the Marvel fanboys crazy. And then at the end, it was just a troll and just like a rando actor guy that they did actually recast.
Not only is it a super troll, but they named him Boner too, by the way, which is just fantastic. But also I think everybody that watched any of those X-Men movies, everybody has differing opinions on those, but everybody would probably agree Quicksilver, oh yeah, he was good. Like, yeah. They did Quicksilver great in those two movies he was in. Three? I don't know.
Three.
Yeah.
Four?
I also loved it. I loved how it just made the internet go wild. And it was, he also played a really good, like, you know, crazy uncle for the twins too. And also it was great that he dressed up as the comic version of Quicksilver at Halloween. Everybody dressing in their comic accurate costumes. I mean, chef's kiss, first of all, by the way.
That was great.
Like, that whole episode was great, trying to explain that away. And then that's when Vision was still waking up. It's like, the only thing in my closet. Yeah. But I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic nod and wink and whatever else you want to call it.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. And I think it was a good choice to do that. Not because even for like people that don't know the X-Men universe, or know that he was Quicksilver in the X-Men universe, the fact that he was, number one, that he wasn't original Quicksilver, makes you as an audience like it's another mystery. It's like, okay, who is this guy really? Whereas like we're all thinking, oh, it must be multiverse, this or that. If he had just been some like random guy, like random actor, like we would have known something was up, that he wasn't who he said he was. Like, we wouldn't have believed anything about him.
Yeah.
But the fact that half the audience thought he was just a different Pietro because of the actor they cast, kind of kept, you know, half the audience just kind of guessing even more. Also, the fact that he was introduced in the 80s episode and his name was Ralph Boner made me think of the Growing Pains of the character named Boner.
And just that his name was Boner. I'm sorry. Just so dumb. Like, yeah, okay. And then when he was holding Monica hostage, quote unquote, that was also a really good little moment. Like, I don't know. It was just extremely well done. But it also wasn't making fun of anything else either. Like, it was just a nice nod by Feige.
Yeah, and I was glad it did not somehow link the X-Men universe, the existing X-Men universe, to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because I'd rather the Marvel Cinematic Universe develop the X-Men on their own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that's agreed. Not to say something else might pop up in another cameo or something with all this multiverse stuff, but yeah, I want them to do their own thing too. I don't need to see another version of like this. Like, I don't need to see Patrick Stewart again, you know?
Yeah.
Like, those, and or Ian McKellen or Michael Fassbender. We're done. It's good. Like, that's over. Let's move on.
We've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And Hugh Jackman doesn't want to work out again like that either.
I'm tired of Wolverine anyway. Perpetually. I've always been tired of Wolverine. This was one of those shows where fans were feverishly speculating on what was going to happen or what twists and turns were headed our way. Some that I can think of off the top of my head are mutants in the MCU. Mephisto was behind things, and Reed Richards or Doctor Strange were going to show up at some point. Which unrealized theory did you think was going to happen? And when did you stop thinking that would happen? So I was all on board for the Mephisto and Agatha team up theory as them being behind it. But when they didn't, they revealed Agatha in episode, what, 4 maybe? 5? I don't know. Doesn't matter. When they didn't in the very next episode say, okay, Mephisto is here, then like, that was when I was like, okay, they're not going to do that. One, because we're in the end game now and like we're done with the setup part. And two, I think it really undercuts Agatha's story if she's just a henchman, basically. So, so I thought they were going to do Mephisto. And then I was glad that they didn't do Mephisto, but some people were really expecting him to turn up in that very last episode. I'm like, they're not introducing a demon into the MCU in the last episode of Monica Vision or WandaVision.
Monica Vision. And here's the devil. What?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I agree completely. And you know, I thought there was a good chance there was gonna be Mephisto and Nightmare, you know, just from watching like YouTube videos and stuff.
Yeah.
But as soon as they revealed Agnes and they did the song that was Agatha all along. I was like, I mean, she just said it was her all along.
Yeah.
She, you know, there's not going to be this other thing that's suddenly surprised. It's actually this other person all along.
Yeah. You don't need a double swerve. Like, yeah. That would just have been dumb. Yeah. And Jason's right. It would have undercut Agatha, just like I thought I wanted Doctor Strange to show up at the end to help Wanda or fight Wanda or do something. But yeah. I think that would have undercut Wanda's story, too. This isn't Doctor Strange's story. He's got a movie.
Yeah.
And he's getting another movie soon. Like, this was Wanda and Vision's story. And, you know, then Agatha was the villain. Got it. And we got to learn a lot more about Wanda's backstory, too. That we didn't know before. So I watched a lot of the YouTube videos and stuff too. And I think this is one of those shows that is just made for speculation and stuff. And like, the Marvel, the director and the showrunner, they were all like taken aback a bit by all the speculation. They're like, oh, that probably would have been a good idea. You know, we didn't put that many nuggets in as people thought we did. So it's fun to speculate and everything. Just people also need to remember to not get mad when what they want to happen didn't happen.
Right. Yeah. Some of those Easter egg videos were like, all right.
Yeah. I mean, hey, like you need YouTube content. So
there's a man and you could see his fist and his toe. Confirmed Mephisto is showing up in the next episode. What?
Oh, and Quicksilver called the kids demon spawn. There it is. He said it. They're demon spawn. Like, well, no, he's being the wacky uncle. Like, that's what he's doing. Yeah. It's fine to have a smaller story, even though this wasn't a small story. Like, I don't know. It's fandom has its issues, you know, but that's okay.
The theory that I never understood why there's such an uproar for, even after the show ended, you know, I was still reading about it. Was the whole Monica going to see the aerospace engineer and how that was supposed to be something? Because I was like, she just said she's going to go see an aerospace engineer. What else would she have said? Like, I'm going to go see this random person.
Yeah.
Like, she has to call the person something.
Yeah. So not everything is something.
Yeah. It just seemed
I'm
going to
have dinner. Oh my God. Are they going
to
have shawarma at the same place that the Avengers did?
I'm going to have dinner. She's going to have dinner with Reed Richards in the Fantastic Four.
No.
Like, I don't think they're going to introduce Reed Richards in a throwaway bit in WandaVision. Like,
and that would be, you can't have not every movie is Endgame that has everybody in it either, by the way, too. Right. Like, you know, it's fun, but don't, like, some of these people I saw online get mad about it too. Oh, and the only other thing that, like, apparently is still open is who the witness or whatever was that Agent Wu was looking for, because it wasn't Ralph.
I think it's John MacGuffin. I don't think that there's anything.
Like, no, they did. No, I saw a thing the other day where the showrunner said, "Oh, that would probably come out down the line."
Yeah, he said, "I can't say any more about when you'll find out." Or he said something like where it sounded like we will find out more about the witness.
Whereas when they asked about Quicksilver, oh no. You didn't think that was funny?
But I would have been fine if it's John MacGuffin or whatever, because to get Jimmy Woo there anyway.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know, maybe it's Ant-Man. Maybe Ant-Man.
Maybe it 3. Is Ant-Man. Great.
He'll,
cool.
He'll go under a witness protection, and then at the end of it, we will be looking for him.
We can find out in Quantumania.
What happened to you, Ant-Man? Oh, I was just small the whole time. I was influencing things. But
I wasn't anywhere near there. Well, I don't know why he went to that sit down. I wasn't anywhere near there.
I was in Eastview. This is why Agent Wu was always not, you know, didn't get promoted.
Flourish.
Any other ones? Any other theories that when they didn't pay off, you were like, of course. The mutant one's kind of the same thing with Reed Richards. Like, of course they're not going to introduce the mutants in a throwaway episode of WandaVision. Like,
this
that's a movie.
This isn't a CW show. The Flash would have done that.
Yeah.
And they think they did do stuff like that. But, like, no, it's... Marvel's not... They got plenty of time.
Yeah.
There's no hurry.
I did think Doctor Strange would show up in the end credits.
Yeah.
Which he his theme did. But because a lot of Marvel movies, you know, you'll see in the end credits, there'll be like a character or a reference to a character that's for whatever property is coming next. And since his movie is more or less next, it's not literally next, but it's coming up soon. I thought then show up like in the end credits. So it wouldn't have it really any effect on the actual plot of WandaVision, but it would kind of get you excited.
Yeah.
But I was perfectly fine that it wasn't, and the fact that she was, like you heard Doctor Strange's theme while she was
doing witch stuff.
Yeah, when she was
reading the dark cold and
astral projecting herself while she was awake. With
so, so we all wanted to see Doctor Strange like eating dinner with Wong. Like,
Did you hear about this thing?
Oh yeah,
no,
man,
no, I don't know anything about that.
Why weren't you there? It wasn't a big enough threat. It was just some randos in New Jersey.
I was fighting universe-ending stuff, not small town stuff.
Remember when I went to stop Dormammu from eating the this universe? That's the stuff that I deal with. Like, this is more of a Spider-Man type of thing.
Oh, well, they did. You know, that's that. There's been that old internet joke after Infinity War came out where they talked about, you know, Doctor Strange, not just universe, but like at least planet level threats and everything.
Yeah.
And like what's going on in the galaxy. And then he didn't know who Thanos was. I don't know, man. You need to watch the news. You need to at least know who Thanos is. Like, talk to Thor or something. But it was funny.
All right. And finally, did WandaVision make you more excited or less excited for the immediate future of the MCU being very heavy on Disney Plus TV shows?
More.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was already pretty hyped. But now that I saw what they did with two characters I didn't really care that much about, I couldn't be more excited to get up Friday morning and watch Falcon and Winter Soldier before I start working.
Yeah, and I don't think it could have made me less excited. Even if WandaVision was bad and like not interesting or just boring, all the other stuff are completely different. So you still have the excitement of, oh, I didn't like that so much, but I can't wait to see what this next thing is going to be.
Yeah. I wasn't super interested in Loki or Falcon and Winter Soldier until watching this, and this like really made me hype for those. Like I would obviously watch those other two, but I wasn't really excited for them. This show, like, I was excited for WandaVision because it was so weird, and this one, just the quality of it and how everything fit in and how they sort of continued threads that they've had in other movies really made me excited. And I guess now, just thinking about it, I guess maybe a lot of the fallout from the movies is going to happen in the TV shows, because like the next movie that is related to this story is Doctor Strange. Like, Black Widow's not really, it's a flashback as far as we know. And then Shang-Chi and Eternals, like, I don't think they'll continue the aftermath of Endgame because they weren't really involved. So
who knows?
Yeah. Which will be interesting to explain why the Eternals weren't involved in Endgame, but
because they hadn't been written yet, Jason.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Could take place before Endgame.
Ooh, actually, I think I might know why.
Hmm. Well, I will say I was least excited about WandaVision, which is to say I still wanted to see it, but now I couldn't be more hyped for the shows I was really excited about, because they're just going to be way different, and all of them are going to be different genres of shows. Like Falcon and Winter Soldier, I don't think is going to be one of those where, you know, there people are going to be speculating about an astrophysicist or something that they drop a line about, and who's the big bad. Like, I think we know who the big bad is going to be probably from the trailer. But and Loki's going to be the one that's going to be more like WandaVision, I think, which is just going to be pretty out there. I'm really excited to see what they do with Loki. I'm excited to watch Falcon and Winter Soldier, but Loki is the one I cannot wait to see what they do. And I'm more hyped for it after I saw what they did with WandaVision.
All right. If you liked WandaVision and you'd like to let us know about it, you can email us at info@tfppodcast.com. Next week, we will be doing some sort of bracket to capitalize on March Madness, probably a week or two late, just like we did here with WandaVision.
Go Jackets, by the way, if we haven't lost yet by the time that this comes out.
Yes. And the bracket that we're doing next week is the best song from a Disney animated classic. So we'll cover the big ones. The major ones, your Be Our Guests and your Part of Your Worlds. But if there are a couple of songs, don't send us 64. If there are a couple of songs that you want to make sure make it into the bracket, or you want to make sure get at least looked at or a nomination into the bracket, send them in to info@tfppodcast.com or tweet us or put it in Slack. If you are a Patreon saint, and we will start building the bracket, or I'll start building the bracket probably this weekend. So,
that's the next episode?
That'll be the next episode. Yep. You can visit us online at tfppodcast.com. We're on Instagram and Reddit at /tfppodcast and Twitter at @tfp_podcast. You can subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcatcher. We have some pretty awesome t-shirts at shop.tfppodcast.com. And we have some exclusive Patreon-only content that's available to you if you support the show at patreon.com/tfppodcast. That is all I got. Anything else?
It was Agatha all along.
Best thing ever.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you real soon.
We have one big news item and two much smaller news items.
Sexy news.
Sorry. You should probably just say that again.
Nudes.
I was trying to make a search for spork pun, like the search for spot.
I think you just did. I mean, I expect that to be in the outtake section or something.
They didn't have any sporks until they went to the Genesis planet and they had all been recreated.
I think you're good with just search for spork.
And then once
that's all you need.
One spork had Ponfar with the other spork.
Okay. Ooh,
the other much younger spork.
Now, I think a fork and a spoon had Ponfar, and that's what made the spork.
You know what you are? You're a real live Gaston right there. That's what you are.